Tsunami Gaff. Wasting every Saturday night together. Only Tsunami.
Okay, let's get started. This is episode 23. With me are B-Dubs.
Hello.
And C-Polar.
Hello.
Oh, and also Raxus.
I live to disappoint.
It's so disappointing. It's just come into this group chat and it's like, here's Raxus.
I'm the human Norman of the group. For the probably two people on Tsunami Gaff that gift that reference.
I don't
understand that reference.
Yeah, I didn't either. What is it?
It's a Rift Tracks reference. There's a whole group of shorts about this guy called Norman, and his catchphrase is literally
okay. Norman jumps into battle.
I love Rift Tracks.
Well, there's no news this week. Nothing interesting happened. So let's just go into Dragon Ball Z Kai. Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 85.
Well, there is... If I could
the truce is broken. Raxus, if you fuck this up for me, I swear to God.
Want to mention that on October 2nd, they are airing the episodes for chapter 699 out of, like, 700 for Naruto. So the series is reaching its zenith, so we may actually have an end date for Naruto soon.
Never.
I don't believe it.
I'm just saying.
They're going to adapt to the movies
they'll probably pull super and adapt like all the movies and the novels and stuff.
They'll just start adapting the Boruto stuff under the name.
Yeah.
Under Naruto Shippuden. It wouldn't be far off after what I've read from Boruto, but...
I actually wouldn't mind them adapting the novel stuff so I could actually, you know, see what happens there.
But I just wanted to mention that because, I mean... It's pretty significant that we're getting basically the second to last chapter before we reach what is the epilogue chapter, but...
Okay, I'm going to start the Dragon Ball Z Kai intro over again.
Okay.
Silence, please, because we're entering Dragon Ball Z Kai. Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 85. The truce is broken. The defense force strikes back at Cell. Guys, we can do it! We can totally take him down! Oh god, fuck! Let's all run away in a perfect circle!
Toriyama remembers that the Earth has an army.
It took him long enough.
King of Earth is a dog.
A blue dog.
Is his name really King Furry?
No, god, what?
I looked it up, like, on a wiki, and it said his name was King Furry.
Oh god.
Seems legit.
I don't think he's ever been named, though.
Well, it had another name, and the other name was King Koku.
That's probably
with
what
the
they use.
With the KC, I think that's his basically what it's supposed to be.
Okay. But yeah, they had him listed as King Furry. Like, maybe that had appeared that way a long time ago in, like, some really
I'm
bad
that's just,
four kids thing or something.
No, I'm guessing that's just weird, you know, anime.
Maybe that's, like, a direct weird. Translation or something.
Maybe it's maybe it's someone's fanfic gone horribly wrong.
Honestly, I wouldn't put that being the translation past Toriyama. I really wouldn't. I mean, he named Vegeta vegetables.
Go on, fried rice.
Every Saiyan is named after vegetables. Kakarot, carrot.
Yeah.
Vegeta, speaking of which, went back into the time chamber so that he can get defeated again.
And Piccolo came out and he was like, hey guys, I'm still Piccolo.
I love that. All of it just comes down and says, yep, that was pointless.
Why did I even waste my time?
And then Goku immediately hits on the idea to be like, hey, wait, why don't we make the entire plot pointless by just making more Dragon Balls? I'm a genius.
That's actually the best idea he's ever had in this entire series. Let's be real.
Let's face it, Goku's been on point for... I don't know how for like the past few episodes. It's been
really
weird.
It's something about hanging out with Gohan made him smart.
And it's like, hey, I can make the Dragon Balls. I can't find the Namekians, of course, but maybe King Kai can find them with his super planet fighting powers. I'm going to go to King Kai's planet. Oh, by the way, I can apparently just teleport to the afterlife now. Like, freaking...
Like, that's the part that got to me.
That's the freaking swinging doors. Like, okay, Goku, whatever, go.
You do you, Goku. You do you. I think he's just too stupid that he's never considered that, oh, this shouldn't be possible.
Instant transmission is basically Dragon Ball's version of Star Trek's transporter, where they can just use it to do things, and it's never really explained.
I mean, Next Generation does a pretty decent job of explaining, why the transporter does stuff.
I don't mean they didn't explain it, but, like, they didn't need to explain it. It's just a plot device to be like, okay, well, yeah, Goku needs to be here to say something, so he will instant transmit, even though it totally breaks everything, because he can do that.
You know what else is weird? Somewhere along the way, Toriyama decided that the Namekians just are a race that just goes to other planets and becomes the Guardian.
Why not?
Because,
well, I mean, maybe Kami just got bored.
No, Kami was just like, hey, I got stuck here, and then I became the Guardian somehow.
Wait, he's in Namekian?
No, we need to go get a Namekian.
That's because they want Dragon Balls.
Why can the Namekians make Dragon Balls?
Oh, wait, Kami.
Yeah, no, that's not explained. Yeah, the only reason they wanted a Namekian is because they wanted new Dragon Balls. They could have had, like, freaking Krillin do it if they didn't care. Krillin, you're in charge of Earth.
Son of a bitch! Let's just grab a Namekian and bring him to the lookout, and then they'll suddenly be the Guardian for some reason, and then they can make more Dragon Balls for some reason.
Little greed.
Well, they said something about, like, that it's, like, a trait that they get passed down, like, knowledge or something. Didn't they?
No,
Who the hell knows?
I'm trying to remember, because they actually do get into, like, Kami's backstory about him arriving in Earth and actually creating the Dragon Balls. So
I know there's a statue involved. That's about it. Like, I remember there being a statue, and Little Green would point his hands at it, and he'd concentrate real hard, and then there'd be Dragon Balls.
This kind of makes the Namekians, like, the most powerful beings, if they can just make balls that give people ultimate wishes.
You mean, well, the balls turn out to be completely useless. They can't do shit. It's like, hey, can you kill that guy for us? No, he'd kick my ass.
Well, that's the thing, though. You can usually get around that with the wishes.
I wish he was on the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish he was teleported to the farthest corner of the galaxy.
I wish I was immortal. I wish for a sword that can cut through anything. And then there you go.
I wish for more wishes.
That's just evil.
I wish you could... for, like, 5 billion wishes.
I wish you were able to grant any wish.
I wish you could melt this ice.
That was the second dumbest wish. The first dumbest wish was panties. I mean, let's be real.
I have no idea what we're talking about now. Was this OG Dragon Ball stuff?
No one watched Dragon Ball.
Nobody watched Dragon Ball. That's a shame.
That's why the King Furry guy was so out of place. It's like, he's from old Dragon Ball, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what? He showed up for like 20 minutes when Piccolo took over the world.
Yeah, there's like a whole, like, I think the last couple episodes have been kind of a celebration for old Dragon Ball, because we ran into a bunch of characters that are just big players in old Dragon Ball, which is refreshing. Well, I do like the pace of this episode. It's very different from what we're used in DBZ.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to die. Let's bring them all back.
I think part of the reason, though, is if I'm remembering my interviews right, Toriyama had planned for Gohan to become the main character. So, you know, by bringing back, everyone from Dragon Balls, it's sort of like, you know, closing the book on Goku's story.
And then...
and then...
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that eventually.
I think this kind of makes me remember why I enjoyed Cell Saga so much. It's just... It's very much unlike a typical shonen arc past the Imperfect Cell arc, because it's not just all freaking fighting on this planet for like 20 episodes.
Yeah. This felt like a real slow down episode, a kind of like take your breath episode, even though like hundreds of people died. They were so insignificant that it was just kind of like, okay, well, all right.
Oh, why'd they do that? Want to go fishing? Krillin threw a rock at Goku's head.
And then Goku died from concussion. Good job, Krillin. The one time he did something.
I kind of like that they kept that J-pop song. I wonder if that was in the original version, like the original dub.
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
At least it's not Yamcha's cat food song. Cat food.
Cat food. I can't remember the tune.
Cat loves food, yeah. Cat loves food, yeah.
It is also weird that we're long past Team Four Star stuff, so we have to actually make our own jokes. Oh my god!
What are this we is do? The worst thing ever!
Well, I mean, we're like two Team Four Star episodes away from catching up, so we're not that far ahead.
I mean, they only put one out like once every 3 months, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of means we're going to be forever ahead of them.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty telling when it's been airing for a little bit over a year now. And we've already caught up with Team Four Star, who's been going for about 4 or 5 years. More than 5 years now, I think.
Oh, my God. I think it's been more like 6 or 7.
Yeah, no, they've been going forever. I think it's been like 8. Because I remember the first couple episodes came out when I was still in high school.
Oh, my God. They were on Namek when I was in high school.
Yeah. Like, Team Four Star wasn't on Namek when I was in high school. But I think it was just, you know, starting off like episode 2 or 3.
Animation's hard, folks.
It really is.
What do you say we move on to One Punch Man, huh?
Okay, hey, what the hell?
One Punch Man, episode 8, The Deep Sea King. That guy has a lot of murder faces.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, this is arguably my favorite arc in the series, which you'll find out coming up, but it, That I wanted to just kind of sum up the point. This is basically the summary of this episode is, hey, Saitama Genos, let's focus on these other characters.
Yeah.
Because we meet a bunch of A-class heroes, like Stainer and...
A couple of S-class.
Yeah, and we meet arguably the worst character in the series.
So yeah, let's talk about Puri Puri Prisoner, who is an S-class superhero who was also a prisoner... Who he put himself because there because he can't stop raping men.
Yeah, I'm not going to really sugarcoat this one at all.
No,
there's like an extra chapter that they cut out where it actually has Sonic and Prisoner in prison. And they like beat a bunch of the prisoners there.
I think that was just a chapter.
It doesn't really help his character.
No, it makes it worse, arguably.
There's following chapters, people say that make him better, but we're not going to ever get to that. And I don't know if we can actually salvage the fact that he gives off very rapey vibes. So,
yeah, he's probably the one character on the block that, you know, is sort of, really, we're doing this of all things? Really?
He's basically the personified version of Iron-Blooded Orphans this week.
Oh, God.
But, well, I mean,
Iron-Blooded Orphans wasn't rapey.
The thing with Puri Puri Prisoner is that outside of, you know, him saying, hey, I can't stop raping dudes, everything else about him is kind of cool.
As long as he doesn't open his mouth, he's fine. It's just, you know.
You just can't ever forget can't stop raping dudes.
The voice actor for him, I think, is better than his Japanese voice actor. But again, it's just getting over that backstory. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, this would be everyone's favorite character if it wasn't for the whole raping dudes thing.
Yeah.
Aside from that, this is basically one of the few episodes where we actually get one physical threat that basically stays the whole entire episode.
Mm-hmm. And it goes into next episode.
Yeah. It's great seeing a villain that just basically goes ham on everybody.
Yeah, this is actually the first arc where one sort of figures out the main storytelling method he's going to use. It's sort of like Arlong in One Piece. From here on out, all the arcs look a lot more like this one than they do the previous ones.
It's like if Oda wrote every One Piece arc exactly the same, but then Luffy killed the villain in one punch.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But this is the nice thing about this kind of narrative. It gives One Punch Man more of a narrative thing throughout the rest of its run. Unfortunately, in the last 5 episodes, but...
Well, I mean, the next season is going to be fantastic if we ever get to it.
Oh, God. If we get an anime to a particular part, that would be great. But Mirage needs to draw faster.
I need to see that fight animated, if only because it's going to be the best.
Ultimate Evolution, is the title of that fight. It's a fantastic freaking arc.
Saitama's just broken as hell. Like, you don't even realize how broken he is until that fight.
But, unfortunately, Mirage needs to draw faster.
draw faster.
He needs to draw faster, and he needs to just draw the actual comic instead of going off onto side tangents.
Or they could do yeah, because he keeps going off and doing other things. Just stick to one thing.
I like that we got more Moomin Rider, and we'll get more of him next week. And my favorite part of this whole episode is when he said, "Stand up pedaling mode."
Who Moomin Rider? Moomin Rider?
He is the MVP of this arc.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is the Moomin Rider arc.
Not just that. I think basically he ties this whole thing together, and this is why this is my favorite. Like, next episode is bar none my favorite episode of the series, and that's saying a lot considering the final episode of the series.
I agree with you. It's. I think the next episode is also my favorite.
Yeah, I remember reading it. I like it better than the arc that follows. And I really want to see what it looks like animated. I hope they can do it justice, because holy crapola.
Have you not seen the anime?
No, I've been holding off, because I thought it was going to be on Toonami.
Oh, man.
I know.
But I
know exactly what happens. I've been keeping up with One. I've been keeping up with Murata. I just didn't want to ruin it for myself.
So let's, instead of spoiling the next episode, let's just kind of go focus back on this. Speaking of Moomin Rider, you kind of get a little bit of his daily life. He's actually looking up Saitama on the computer, talking with the Heroes Guild. And at one point, you kind of get an insight into his character when he basically throws the telephone away to go confront the Sea King, which has been just crushing people.
Yeah.
Moomin Rider's the number one C-class hero. For the two people that maybe not remember and haven't been keeping up with One Punch Man, these episodes kind of highlight Moomin Rider as a character.
I think that I really like the voice they picked for him here in English, because he might have been this way originally in the Japanese, but I wasn't, you know, I don't speak Japanese, so I couldn't tell. But he has a kind of nerdy voice in this, and I think it fits him really well, because he's just sort of like this underdog guy.
If Moomin Rider had Saitama's somehow combined, like, it wouldn't even be fair.
Yeah,
everything would die. It'd just
the
be
greatest
broken.
Superhero ever.
So one thing we forgot to mention in this episode, new dudes!
New dudes!
For some reason, there was just so much new dudes in this episode.
If DTL wasn't banned, he'd have loved this episode.
I wonder, like, is he doing it for comedic effect, or does he just really like drawing naked guys?
Usually it's for comedic effect, because it goes on in Mob Psycho, but he likes drawing a lot of guy butts.
He does.
So I believe the author stated that if Sonic had his weapons, he would have beaten the Deep Sea King. So there
no,
we go. That's what the author said.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Or Murata say that?
One.
Oh. Man, that's bullshit.
I can kind of see it, because you kind of I think this is one of the few fights that the other characters maybe could stand a chance if they either worked together and you had a few of the same characters in the room.
Yeah, but, I could see that. It would be a hard fight.
But the, and
that
the
one C-class hero who pissed his pants certainly isn't going to beat him.
Or the friggin' snake dude who basically just does really well animated poses before getting knocked the fuck out.
But no, Puri Prisoner has like an entire Sailor Moon transformation sequence to go naked.
Oh yeah.
He does. It's just weird. At some point you just gotta be like, okay, no, we've had enough.
Yep, anime.
Like I said again, if Puri Prisoner didn't have the whole raping dudes thing, then people would love him. But he does have the whole raping dudes thing.
I don't think I'd love him anymore if he didn't. Because I actually forgot about that whole, like, rapey thing. I actually either blocked it from my memory or I forgot. So I didn't even realize it until you guys started commenting on it this week. And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
He's just over the top, kind of in a way that just, I don't know, I don't think it's funny.
It's one of those things where if he was more in about killing dudes, like, if he was Hisoka, it would be fine.
That's the thing. Let's take this back. So I think if they honestly focused on Puri Prisoner and just took a different spin on his character, he could work as a character. But the fact that he's a hero and was supposed to be cheering him on is just the thing that's really off-putting. And I think tone is something that carries over into things like Iron Blood Orphans and this. Because when you have, like, go to Hunter x Hunter, you have a freaking Stranger Danger character like Hisoka. And it works, because he's supposed to be freaking creepy.
I think with part of it is so rapey. And he's kind of a bad stereotype, you know? So it's just one of those situations where I don't think it's so much that it's having a bad guy as a hero. I actually like that dynamic a little bit. I think he's a bad stereotype, and he's really rapey, and it's weird, and I'm like,
Yeah, it's funny, though. I think that Grexino's right, though. If you took away the rapey stuff, I mean, he's trying to be a good guy. That's what's weird about him. You're supposed to think he's a good guy, but then apparently he does bad things. Like, how did he even get his license?
Well, he got his license, and then the whole raping dudes thing started.
Yeah, I like the idea of having one of the bad guys being the heroes, if only because it sort of shows, oh, they're going to take any strong guys they can get because they got to fight the big monsters. But it's like, make him a serial killer instead, you know? It's the one thing I wish they had changed over from one's original script.
Sorry, I also find it funny we're talking about this and someone's like pedo breathing into the mic.
Yeah, who is that?
I think it's Grex.
I may be yawning.
He's bored with this conversation. Moving on.
I'm bored. Let's go on to Gundam.
Iron-blooded orphans.
We're going to get into Gundam.
Yes, we will. After everyone shuts up for 5 seconds.
Never. Raise your fire.
Super Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans episode 13, Funeral Rites. In this episode,
a kid
is crying because a whole lot of people died, right?
Yeah, that's normal.
And then Cordelia's like, I'll comfort you. And then he's like, no, you don't have boobs. I want the person with boobs.
No, it was Atra who said that.
That
was the whatever the...
Honestly, that was just one of the lowlights, but it was like one of the smallest lowlights out of everything that is what the fuck with
this
episode.
That's not even the worst thing that happened that episode.
But was that supposed to be the kid being pervy, or just like that he wanted to have something soft to rest his head against?
Is there a difference?
Why not both? Maybe.
It is weird.
Yeah.
But no, how did it wait?
They can exploding their souls. They exploded the children's souls, apparently. That's the funeral. I can't get over that.
But then how did their souls get to heaven if they explode them?
I don't know.
I've got a great idea to make you guys feel better. We're going to take all your friends' dead bodies and make them explode. And then it's like, look at all that shining light. It's the pieces of your friends.
All the lights in the sky are stars.
I was just waiting, like, in all the scenes where they're, like, right by the window, just to see a little body part go.
That'd be great.
Just, like, an arm hits the window and, like, oh.
They're just
hey, Fred.
They truly are human debris now.
But none of that compares to the best moment in the episode for me,
no.
Which was when immediately following the somber funeral, they gonna have sex.
Oh my!
Watching children explode gets me hard.
Oh, like they were gonna go at it right there,
in front of that kid.
Right then, they were like, "No, we can't wait."
I think no. Metatron.
Like, that's what turns you on is the funeral. What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, I think Metatron M commented like, "Okay, guys, leave the room and clear the coffee table." I mean, I was just, the last half of this episode, I was just crying, laughing. It was just like,
it was just so dumb on so many levels. They could have made that work.
That's the thing.
But
like,
they couldn't
do something
be bothered.
Right, and then they just do something so freaking wrong. Like, there's like a sweet scene at the end with Mika and what's the girl's name? I'm blanking right now.
Cordelia.
Cordelia at the very end. But it's just like, for every good scene you have, there's like, they just double the stupid on the next scene.
Like, here's a list of all the stupid shit in this episode. You start off with a 15-minute death scene.
Yeah.
And then you get, oh, it's just kids, let's go by. Oh god, they're killing us! Let's murder more kids!
I forgot about that.
That sounds about right.
And it's like, we're gonna take you in. Everyone cries.
And then dies.
And then, let's see, what else was there? Oh, there was like a ballroom scene.
Oh my god, we haven't even talked about that yet.
Wow, I really zoned out of this one.
This is literally the Donald Trump episode of this series because there's so much stupid you can't remember or focus on any one stupid part.
Again, there's a sweet theme behind this, but then it just screwed it up. No.
It's too. They're just baiting us. They're baiting us to make fun of it. It's so over the top. Like,
it's obvious.
I agreed with Seda that I liked. I kind of saw what they were doing at the end, where he was being more like an older brother to her, and he's like, "Oh, I'll dance with you. You're beautiful." I get that. You know, they're not trying to be creepy there, but the way they do it, it's just creepy.
It's creepy. Yeah,
like she focuses on the tits and ass part of it, and it's like,
I feel like this episode is something that could have been good had they taken a different twist on it. Like, they didn't even have to change that much. Just like, don't be so creepy. You know, it's like you have one job, and it's don't be creepy.
If they'd cut one shot out of that scene where she focuses in on the tits and the ass, and just like looked at he was hitting on those girls, or the girls were hitting on him, I guess, it'd have been the same scene, but they had to crank it up and show like this little girl is jealous that she doesn't have TNA. And it's like, oh boy.
Like she's the one taking this completely seriously.
Just to give the names of these characters, it's McGillis and I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Almeria is his fiance, but I can't even speak. It's just the way they went about it.
It's just so stupid.
Creepy.
This episode is just a layer cake of just like dumbness. Like every time you think you've gotten through to the bottom, it's like, oh, there's another layer.
Layer Cake is the 2004 action film starring Daniel Craig.
This is giving me real SAO vibes. This episode was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even talked about how it ended yet.
Mika goes in, boys.
I mean, if you take that alone outside of the context of the rest of the episode, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. It makes sense for the characters and whatnot. But, you know, put it next to the two people doing it on the coffee table, and all the TNA, and the arm slapping against the side of against the window. And it's like,
you just hear the sex in the background while they're kissing.
That's probably why he wanted to kiss her.
I mean, they're literally like, hey guys, did you know that birth rates are higher in years with high death rates?
I like how when they kiss, it cuts to Atra getting that L that she doesn't know she's even received.
Yeah, she does the Japanese like sneezing thing. Someone's talking about me thing.
That poor girl doesn't even know how many L's she's taking.
You know what? At this point, I really feel bad for her character. Like she's got it worse than Sakura in some ways. Like just being written to be the total L supreme, basically.
Like all she does is take L's. It feels like that's her entire existence. And someone is breathing very heavily.
It's just this episode, man.
All
those child corpses.
Stop playing this episode in the background where they're all banging on the coffee table.
Gundam Iron Blooded Orphans episode 13, The Heavy Breathing Cat.
One other thing I can mention about this episode is thank goodness Snake Joker Guy died. And
Do I enjoy the killing of men? Well, whatever.
Hi, I'm Villain McVillainface.
Like, it really shows how bad these episodes were when you make a XB of the Joker and it doesn't work. Like that's how you know you done fucked up, is when you plop the Joker in and everyone's like, no, this is horrible.
When he got stabbed in the middle of the episode, I just shouted thank God for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, like normally that should be the best character you got, and then they turned it into no, thank God he's gone.
They just never did anything. It was just generic bad guy. He's basically Hisoka done completely wrong.
Yes.
And then they get up to negotiating with Porky Pig, and he's like, well, I don't think you should, and it's like, dude, we will fucking cut you. Like, we just exploded those children's bodies.
I'm just laughing at this freaking pig in space.
And apparently the next three episodes are even worse.
What?
Oh, man. They say it's a low light for the series, so brace yourselves. This episode kind of highlights why it's nice to go into series fresh when you're doing a group watch. Because it's just like, why did you blow up their bodies? I thought fireworks would have been nice.
And now sex on the table.
Oh, and apparently gay guy got NTR'd or something.
Oh, that's depressing.
That's just kind of a thing they just bring up once every three episodes, and it's like, huh?
Wait, who got NTR'd?
The kid with, like, the comb over his eye.
The blonde one.
Oh,
apparently, apparently he's actually a DTL manifestation come to life.
Oh, I forgot about that. God.
There's just some, again, layer cake.
This is just the onion of stupidity here.
It was a packed episode.
It really was.
Of stupid.
Welcome to the carnival, stupid. But I think that's about it for the episode. Me.
Yeah. Let's move on to Hunter Hunter.
Oh, thank God. Kokoku demo hitori janai sa. Umarete kita koto ni kanarazu imi ga aru. You can smile again. Taiyo abite.
Hunter Hunter episode 19. Can't win but can't lose.
Talk about a palate cleanser.
It was a good episode, and indicative of sort of where the series goes in terms of fights.
I want to take a moment to just kind of comment on how much I love Netro and how he just trolls everyone basically for the entire series.
Yeah.
He makes a great difficult face. I don't care. How about no?
No!
Man, I wish I could actually show that face. But so basically Netro announces the tournament arc of this series, and the way the tournament goes is whoever basically gets to the top of the bracket loses. And doesn't get the license. So you basically have to just get one match win and you drop out because you've gotten your license. And he announces the tournament, all the pairings based on their potential.
And of course Leorio is at the dead bottom because he's a dude with a knife.
He's the best, though.
We'll get more into Leorio later on. I think the writer gets better with him as the series goes on, but he does drop out for like freaking arcs at a time.
Yeah, he does.
So they pair off all the characters, and Killua gets a little bit salty for absolutely no reason.
He's just suddenly he's just sulking.
He's just jealous of Gon now. He's I think he's been that way for a while, but now he's like pissed off about it.
Killua was just like, oh, how come I'm not as good as he is? Uh-huh. Why is he so special? Yeah. He's used to being
he's just he's uncharacteristically salty this episode because he never acts like this ever again.
It's almost like a reverse Sasuke.
Yeah.
So Gon gets his first match against Ninja Dude.
Hanzo. And it's literally just an entire match of Gon getting kicked in the face.
He just get the shit beat out of him.
I like how it's like he formulates this whole strategy and said, okay, I just need to get one fast. Like, nope.
One chop. And of course, then his entire strategy becomes no.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to give up, so we're gonna have to do something different. Want to play checkers or something?
Let's play Tiddlywinks.
So when Hanzo threw the match at the end, though, at first it started to seem like he would really kill Gon, but then he threw the match, which I assume means that they're trying to paint him in a good light.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He threatened to do it, but at the end of the day, it turns out he doesn't actually have it in him to seriously maim a child.
Okay. So let me explain this whole fight as it relates to Hunter x Hunter as a whole. This is kind of indicative because it's basically Gon's character, the fight, and it shows just how self-destructive he can be because he just wouldn't give up after getting his arms broken, possibly getting skinned alive, probably not give up when he's literally has his legs cut off and bleeding to death. Just because
to when Hisoka took his badge back. He was so pissed. He's like, no. You don't give it back to me, motherfucker.
You won.
Yeah, Hanzo is nice to Gon, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah,
I mean, when you go on Hunter x Hunter, people aren't going to be as friendly as Hanzo. Hanzo has the skills, and he just outclassed Gon in like every way. This fight becomes just basically you have to fight people that may outclass you in certain ways, and you have to either outsmart them, or you're going to die pretty horribly.
Yes. Which is
that's what I like about Gon.
The series going forward.
I like that Gon is very, Well, I mean, it's kind of a mixed thing. It's like, on one hand, he seems really underqualified to be in this at all, because he just doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
But right. on the other hand, fishing pole.
Yeah, exactly. He goes to this thing with a fishing pole, and I guess he's good at smelling things. But yeah. On the other hand, he is, I guess, he can be clever at times. So I guess he's got the knack for it. But he really does seem like, I mean, he's still above Leorio, don't get me wrong. But
no, Leorio is the tops.
Leorio has a knife.
He does.
A knife is better than a fishing pole.
It is.
Could Leorio take Hisoka's badge away with his knife? No.
No.
No, probably not.
He would try, though.
I know which participants that could take on Hisoka right now.
I mean, it would basically be Netero, and that's about it.
And the participants, though, not participants.
He'd murder all of them.
Get a Raptor, probably. I don't know. Could
No, the guy with the pins in his face, he could probably do it.
It'd be a tough fight, though. But we'll get into that later.
Speaking of the participants, there are like two other people left that I actually don't know who they are. Like, I don't think we've seen them much.
It's like old guy and guy with bow.
Yeah.
I can't say anything, but we've gotten introduced to the other characters because they do play a big part going forward. But yeah,
the short guy, you know, the short fat guy with the bow tie, right?
Mm-hmm. The guy who is a bean.
No, not him.
No, I'm talking about like the contestants. There's like at least two other contestants that I don't know who they are.
There's Hanzo, Gon, Killua, Leorio, Kurapika, Hisoka,
Gitarocker,
Old Man, Hanzo, who's the guy who has the bow.
I'm not sure what the older guy does going forward.
I remember what he does.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Wait, which one is he again?
The old man with the ponytail. He's like a kung fu guy.
Oh, right.
But, so Gon wins his fight, and that's basically the episode. I mean, as a quick summary, nothing much really happens in this episode, but it's a good study into Gon as a character, and it gives a little bit more insight about Hunter going forward. And the next episode's really indicative of what Hunter is going to be going forward.
If I remember that right, it's going to be...
People are just going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Was this story written before the Chunin exams were written in Naruto?
Yes.
Okay, I can tell.
Long before.
Yeah, Hunter's been going on for ages.
Yeah.
That's what this reminded me of, but of course I knew all along while I was watching it's like, oh, this came first, even though it was animated later.
Right.
Like, the Chunin exams are like a plot for plot.
Almost exactly the same.
The exact same thing.
Unfortunately, Hunter x Hunter made the classic mistake in the manga of having characters board a boat, so...
Yeah.
See you in a few years.
Oh, God, that did happen. We're never going to get off the boat.
Meanwhile, there's One Piece where characters are literally always on a boat.
I mean, they literally are on a boat the entire time this arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic boat.
I thought it was funny how Gon wanted to play a game where he would win just so he'd feel good about winning.
That was funny.
And Hans is just like... Fucking
just like punches in the heck out. I also like how Hanzo actually adds, tell him he passed, do not give him, because if he just gets disqualified, this whole thing's for naught, and we will be pissed.
Yeah. It brought like some much needed levity to this part of the episode, because at that point, right until that happened,
it was dark.
Pretty serious. Like, he was getting, Gon was bad shape.
Like, literally everyone was losing their shit.
Yeah.
Like, over on the sidelines, even Hisoka's like...
This is going to be a really awkward letter.
Yeah.
I'm writing to you with my left hand because...
My right one is broken.
Saitama beat me up pretty bad.
He kicked my legs in and broke my arm.
Like, the next recap episode's at episode 26. It's the last recap episode for the entire freaking series.
Wait, next episode's a recap?
No, episode 26. We're on episode 20, I believe.
Next episode is 20.
Doing another one?
Because they didn't think they were going to be an endless shonen. They thought they were going to do two cores.
Yeah, and then they found out, oh, we can keep going. And they basically adapted the series up to a good stopping point and just Because you'll notice at the end of this arc, oh my God, they obviously take the center brakes off because Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, you can't, you know, do the rest of the series with, you know, sensors. It's just not going to work.
Like,
I mean,
the first arc, they get by with some of it, but, like, the decapitated heads and stuff, like the sniper dude that took out Gon.
Like, but after that, they literally can't handle anything. They wouldn't be able to handle it with all the censoring.
Yeah, because, my God, the series gets bad.
I mean, there'd be entire screens. It's just black.
So, just to get ready to anticipate that, because, man, the series goes down quite the rabbit hole.
Oh, boy.
So,
it's time for Naruto Shippuden.
Let's talk about Anime Ambien.
Naruto Shippuden episode 126, Twilight. Oh god, fuck, the title, no.
No.
Because it has the greatest fangirl ever, Karin, in it.
I want to say this episode.
Which is weird, but I just want to say one thing. Jiraiya was in the episode, his parts were the only decent parts, everything else
was
crap.
Itachi was great, too.
Yeah.
Itachi literally shows up and is like, I'm going to stuff a crow in your mouth.
Eat crow.
Itachi asked the best, most important question that's been asked on this show the whole time. Why are you so obsessed with my brother?
What the fuck?
Because I love him. I mean, because he's my friend.
You guys don't even like each other. He doesn't even like you.
You don't even like him.
I want to be in his pants, damn it.
No, I mean, it sort of goes back to, like, the one thing that Naruto screwed up above all else is it didn't have more arcs between Sasuke and Naruto joining a team and Sasuke leaving the village.
What's the name of the guy who wrote this?
Masashi Kishimoto?
Yeah,
Kishimoto.
I just call him Kishi.
Yeah, Kishi... I think what happened, I don't know this, but this is my guess. I think what happened is that Kishi created Sasuke and like a million fangirls fell in love with Sasuke. And so he didn't even bother to write a story where viewers were supposed to really empathize with him.
Well,
like, he just became too cool. And it was like, oh, we don't need to write that now to make you like him.
I wonder if he's supposed to die, if he was actually originally written to die in the Land of Hidden Mist arc.
Basically, Sasuke and Sakura were editor. You know, like you have to have these, you have to have the rival and you have to have the love interest.
Oh, really?
Because originally it was going to be just Naruto and his teacher, I think.
I mean, it's a good change and, you know, it's a good instinct from the editor. It's just, the execution is crap.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kishimoto could have done more
to
make Sasuke empathetic so that you want to like him. But
it's not only that, so that we can actually understand why Naruto cares about this guy.
Right. Just have them spend more time together. He's a perfect character who is just too cool for school, and I hate him for it.
And then he just has even worse characters, which doesn't help him at all. I mean, when it comes to some terrible characters, you're just like, oh, at least the supporting characters aren't so terrible half the time. But Sasuke, just like, man, I see you. I despise everything about you. And every time I read like a plot revelation about you, it usually tends to make me hate you even more.
Karin is the personification of what's wrong with Sasuke. It's this person who is obsessed with him for no good reason.
Yep.
That's basically it.
She has a very good reason for being obsessed with Sasuke.
Her panties.
She really wants the D.
Like, really, really wants
it. I mean, usually we joke about characters as like, she just wants the D. And it's like, no, usually that's not the case. But in this case...
This is the case.
It literally is this case.
Yeah.
This is the only explanation. She just wants it.
It's like some fangirl wrote Kishimoto and said, I've got this original character. Would you insert her into your story? And this is what we got.
I will say, though, it does lead up to one of the best, worst plot developments.
Oh, God.
Towards the end. But I'm not sure.
Are you talking about the...
The NTR holder herder ground?
Yeah, that was amazing. I cannot believe he chickened out of that shit. That was the best. Just week to week, I was like, do it, you bastard, redeem yourself. And then, no, I'm like,
literally, the entire series would have been worth it for this.
It really would have.
B-Dubs was right, though, earlier that I thought that the stuff with Jiraiya and Tsunade was actually really good. I'm going to give the show props for that. I thought that those scenes were really well done.
And that's the thing. Jiraiya's, I think we're getting to a point where it's going to be Jiraiya-centric episodes, and those are fantastic episodes. I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like Jiraiya is one of like the three characters Kishi actually knows how to write well, the other two being Shikamaru and Kakashi.
Yeah.
I would have gone with... No. I don't know if I would have gone with Rock Lee because he kind of disappeared.
Rock Lee, he sort of disappears after a certain point because really, where else can you go with him after, you know, what he's done?
Well, you can
actually, Gaara isn't so bad.
No, he's not. But at the same time, he also more or less closed his plot line out already. It was like two arcs and he's done.
It's around this point he starts kind of write himself into a corner more and more.
Yeah, and it's mostly because there's a distinct lack of planning ahead, I think.
Yeah, like the whole thing that was apparently, was it revealed this episode for the first time that Naruto is Minato's son?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first time it was outright stated and confirmed.
But everyone knew for like decades.
But everyone knew, right?
Like the second they showed the picture of the fourth Hokage, people were like oh yeah.
Yeah, that's his dad.
So that's kind of the problem. It's like Kishimoto doesn't realize that he's being so obvious.
Well,
one of the biggest plot revelations of the series people knew about for years, and it was supposed to be this big thing.
I mean, for decades. Yeah. I mean, almost as long as Naruto being the fourth Hokage's son. It's like, and everyone joked about it. Like, no, this couldn't possibly. Holy shit! It
be that obvious. Oh wow!
Oh my god! Here's the Sharingan tank.
That was my favorite. The fact that didn't come true still makes me sad to this day. That was exquisite. And honestly, it was better than the chapter we got. It really was.
It's like that and Aizen resetting all of Bleach with his Bankai are the two things
that
should happen.
The fact that didn't happen is bullshit.
He literally just kind of goes back to prison.
You thought this was your happy ending?
Who said I never showed you my Bankai? the fact that never happened still pisses me off.
Perfect example of an ending that was like, okay, you're ending. It's like, we're not running you anymore.
You're done. With that one, they gave him, they let him close out with the final arc, and then 4 years later, he's still going with no end in sight.
That was it was all Cooper's fault about that. He just needed to wrap the damn thing up at that point.
They gave him 4 years. You know, that's more than most people get. Like when Siren was ending, it was already near the end. They're like, okay, you're ending, we'll let you finish it up. So the guy introduced a quick, plot device thing to sort of speed it like 4 or 5 chapters along, and there we go.
Say what you will about Kishi, at least when things started to really feel like you were stretching out towards the end, he knew to end it, at least. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, he sort of had a hard time figuring out how to end it.
Oh, really? You don't say.
It felt like, okay, so this is how we're going to end it here. This is the end game. Oh, wait, I made this guy too strong. Okay, so we'll make this one that's technically stronger, but also weaker because it's not as smart. Oh, that's not going to work either. Everyone has God mode. Oh, wait, everyone's too stupid to take advantage of this. Kakashi, go fix the problem. I swear to God.
In the plot revelations, oh my God.
Yes.
Anyways, but let's not get into that.
Ending of One Piece is going to be like a pre-planned out God.
Oh, yeah. Oda's the opposite. He's got it all figured out already.
Like, there was an interview. He literally showed a picture of his, like, planning books for the next like 5 arcs.
Yep.
Yeah. No, he's got like books full of like notes and sketches and shit, like at least 3 or 4 arcs.
Editors know the ending to One Piece. He's told them.
Yeah, and they're the only people that know.
And they're so disappointed.
No, it's the opposite. No. They've actually said it moved them. So
apparently they all cried tears of like
I don't know if that's true, so but that's beautiful. What they say.
It's like, no, I am one of the five people too. In the world who know this world-ending secret of utmost import.
Didn't tell the ending to a dying kid, too.
No, that was a fake.
No, that was disproven.
Just a rumor, yeah.
I thought it was kind of sweet.
Although, if I ever started dying, I'd be like, get your ass over here now and tell me the fucking ending.
I need to know.
Motherfucker, I will literally haunt the earth.
You know,
I don't know this ending.
About Elbaf.
No, you see, part of me is tempted to find a kid for Make-A-Wish and be like, hey, wish for this. And then tell me.
I'll pay you $10,000.
I'll give you candy. Just tell me how One Piece ends.
And then you're in prison.
For wasting his wish.
For giving a kid candy. You're a stranger.
So this episode of Naruto Shippuden was literally pulled a thing where it's like, it raises the most obvious death flags of all time that are so obvious even the characters see them.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's okay because it's Jiraiya and he has a really good set of episodes coming up. Like his story arc, I mean, even with all these death flags, he's still a total badass and you still think he can pull it out in the end.
Are these next episodes canon?
Yes.
I think up next is the Sasuke episodes and then...
Or
next episode is Jiraiya Chronicles, I think.
I thought the Jiraiya arc in the village came after Sasuke's next arc.
I don't know if it does or not, but the title of the episode is Jiraiya Chronicles next.
Well, I haven't watched this far, so.
But it's still, like you said, these Jiraiya Chronicles, this is part of it. Like, this is canon stuff.
I don't know.
Because it sounds like filler.
This is the Jiraiya backstory.
Oh, that's fun stuff.
Yeah, this, like, I think we're pretty good up to before I hit the next filler arc, but there's, I think, let's see, we have, Tales of the Gutsy Ninja, Jiraiya Scrolls Parts 1 and 2 coming up next, and then we're going to be, it's basically the Jiraiya Saga, and I believe we go into the Itachi Saga after that, and then we hit filler.
Filler!
At least it's short. It's like 8 episodes long.
What's it about? Is it as bad as the last one? Because that was horrible.
It's only 8 episodes, so it can't possibly be as bad.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I beg to differ. You can do a lot of damage in eight episodes.
I mean, hell, look at how much damage Gundam did in 3.
Oh, God. It went from something I enjoyed watching. I didn't particularly like it, but I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. I don't mind this, you know, all that much. And now it's like, I want to poke my eyes out with a rusty spoon.
Well, like I said earlier, it's like SAO now to me. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Oh, God.
Part of me is just kind of just sad because there's some cool parts. Like, I like the Gundam and the thing.
You know,
I like
they can do better.
I like the ninja sword he got. And it's like if they just stuck to Gundam without all this anime bullshit. That's the thing Gundam becomes. Like, Gundam, can you just have giant robot fights a la Gundam Build Fighters without all that anime bullshit?
All Gundam should just become a permanent sports anime.
G Gundam was fantastic.
Gundam Build.
No, I think the thing that annoys me the most and why I can't enjoy this Gundam like SAO. Is because I know they can do better than this. You know, we've seen them do better. Like with SAO, it's like, no, he can't do better than this. This is as good as it gets. There's no improving.
Somebody said that this gets better, though.
I will point out that I do love the main characters. And that's the thing. This saga has not been focusing on the main characters.
No, it hasn't.
And it's part, I think it just kind of highlights the problem. This is one of the few instances where the side characters, I really wish they would just up and die. I don't have to worry about them anymore.
Part of the problem is your big characters should be, you know, really good. You know, they're there to spice everything up for, you know, when the main characters got to get too serious or they get sidetracked doing their thing. That's what the big characters are for. If they're boring, that's not a good thing for later on in the series.
Well, like in Naruto, where the main characters are garbage, but the bit characters.
What's funny
is that
the SAO episode this week was so memorable that we're still talking about it and we're in Shippuden now.
You mean Gundam?
Or Gundam, I'm sorry. Yeah, Gundam was so memorable.
It's well, fun. I mean, it's also because not a whole lot happened in Shippuden other than Jiraiya.
And, yeah. and Naruto literally eating crow.
He literally ate crow.
I wish there was just a bridge version of just Itachi showing up. It's like, hey, Naruto, eat crow.
So there was a music video. Oh, might have yeah. been the best one, I think.
It was not bad.
It was thematically appropriate to the music.
Okay.
It wasn't insane.
Yeah, it wasn't insane. It was dark and kind of...
It was metal as fuck.
It was metal, yeah. But it had a story and you could follow it and sort of. And yeah. It was pretty good. I thought the metal was pretty good. I used to listen to metal a lot and I thought that this was all right. Like, it sounded good. I don't like the singer very much because I really couldn't make him out what he was saying hardly at all. I know that's pretty common
Welcome
in metal.
Welcome to
but...
metal.
No. It depends on what kind of metal.
I'm now imagining C-Cole headbanging.
Intelligible. But... It was good. I mean, it was a good song, had a good track to it. I liked the music video because it wasn't just Insanity Vision that's meant for potheads.
Oh, you assume it's meant for potheads. It's not meant for potheads. It's meant for some shit that's way harder than that.
Well, whatever. It was. It had a story to it. It wasn't just rectangles and weird stuff like that.
World peace.
Yeah. World against peace. Florida slapping people in the ass.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Since we weren't able to stop ourselves from talking about One Piece, let's just move on to One Piece.
Okay.
One Piece, episode 360. Save me, hero. My enemy is the immortal princess. Yes! Usopp versus Verona! I love this fight!
It's one of the highlights of this arc.
I love There's how absolutely. He wins this fight.
At this
fight.
Point, the arc has like highlight after highlight after highlight because I was watching the episodes like, wow, this is just a lot of great episodes.
I think at this point, the arc sort of takes an upward trajectory and just gets awesome.
Yeah, and then there's moments later, after a few fights, where things get even more insane.
I know!
Second half of Thriller Bark is literally just a highlight reel. It's like if an entire game was just a nonstop highlight reel.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's like if it was a James Bond, one of those old PS2 James Bond games, and when you're playing, it's just like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, you shot out the guy's tires. It's like they just throw the Bond moments at you.
Yeah, I will say this brings back one of my favorite Usopp character traits. The guy is a freaking tank.
He really is. Like, he's a coward and he's weak, but holy shit, this guy can take a hit.
The man is made out of iron. Like, remember when he took that fucking steel bat to the face?
He took one to the back of the head, too, and he's still up.
Two enemies just trying to trick
the
other one.
Who lies the best?
And I think that's
literally
awesome.
An Ace Attorney case.
Yeah. It's all about who can be trickier than the other one, you know, who outbluffs who.
The fight's not over yet.
No, nope.
Like, there's an entire 5-minute buildup for, like, a fart sound.
It's like, guys, that joke was amazing.
Guys, we're like a moment of silence for Kumasi.
Oh.
Kumasi.
Rest in peace, Kumasi.
I'm a poor one out for you, buddy.
Poor guy. He never got to speak his mind.
And he had so much to contribute.
Kumasi's like, you want to know about all this, the end game One Piece spoilers? Shut up, Kumasi!
I can tell you what One Piece is. Shut up, Kumasi.
Mistress Verona, I know the ending to what.
Shut up, Kumasi.
For what it's worth, though, in this episode, you get that one moment where she's actually sad about Kumasi dying. She's like, no, Kumasi! Which kind of showed that she really did like him, even though she was mean.
Prona's an interesting character. She just really likes cute things, and I think she takes them for granted until they're gone.
Yeah. Prona's a great character because she isn't, like I said this before, but she's a little villainous, but she's actually kind of just misguided, mostly. And I love, like, at the beginning of the fight where, again, she has to give Usopp a kind of reassuring thumbs up and, like, do your best, you know?
Yeah, like that. He's so depressed. I also like she debuts kind of for exploding hollows, like mini hollows. Poor Usopp takes all those little hollows.
They just kind of go toward him like,
I love that sound. And then we got the astral projected giant Perona, which got a lot of conversation in the thread.
Yeah.
That is a real fetish.
Which is, I Googled that just to see if apparently there's a lot of Photoshop.
That was a mistake.
And it's weird. No. Yes, it was.
Usopp's like, okay, I know this is her astral projected form. She was running away from me for a reason because I had her dead to rights. So where did she go and hide so she could astral project? And she sees a room. He blows it open. There's her body. So it's Usopp versus Perona is going to conclude next week. And yes, it's freaking fantastic.
This was an entire episode dedicated solely to this fight.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's going to happen a little more as we go on, because there's still Zoro's fight to get to, and Sanji still has a bit of a fight to get to, and Nami has something to do, and then
Chopper!
Oh yeah, Chopper's got a fight, and then Frank has one of the best moments ever. Yeah. It's the best.
Did we even talk about Soge King / Sniper King?
Sniper King! Wait,
at the very start, people were humming it when he humming his theme song when he defeated Kumasi. That was freaking fantastic.
The fact they actually brought the theme song back as background music was just, it was an inspired touch.
Yeah.
I really got to take my hat off to them for that one.
Speaking of the music, when I was doing my big watch of One Piece and I got caught up to this arc, I was watching it in Japanese with English subtitles, and they were putting the lyrics to the music on the screen, and it's a little different than what's sung in English. But what they didn't do in the English dub that they did in the Japanese is that at the end of the song, the last thing he says is, he goes, "And now it's time to run away." And that wasn't in the English version.
The secret to Star Family technique, run away!
I actually don't remember that part from the
From the sub
manga. Yeah, no, from the manga.
Oh, from the manga. I don't know if it was in the manga either, but it was in the Japanese anime originally. I thought it was funny.
I mean, the whole point about Sniper King is that he's the brave one.
Yeah.
You know, he's all of Usopp's bravery.
I think it was the animators adding their own joke in for the song, I think.
It might have been.
Like, there is no like song with images in the manga.
No, Oda wrote a song.
The Sniper King song's in the manga written?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it's got its own page.
Wow.
It's Usopp standing on the train, and around him are the lyrics to the song. And Lulu, Halalu.
Okay, well, for what it's worth, I think they changed it in this episode just to be funny, I think. Because I doubt they sung the song on the manga page while this was happening.
No, that's back on the train.
Back
on the train it was.
I still love that there's just this random shot of Sanji and Frankie just being like, what the fuck?
Big props again to Sunny Strait. Uh-huh. I know he's probably not going to get highlighted this year for his work, but he still does really good work as Usopp.
No, I mean, he's absolutely fantastic.
Ian Sinclair is basically sucking up all the oxygen in the room.
Yeah, with Brooke. But if there were like awards for, you know, anime voice actors, I think he should win it.
A couple of people were not happy with this whole dual personality thing here. I love it. I think this makes sense to me, but I know somebody in the thread wasn't happy about it.
I mean, it makes sense really, for his character, honestly.
I don't think it's really a dual personality thing. I think he just talks to himself, you know, to sort of buck himself up.
But like in different voices?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Usopp.
I mean,
that's all you got
to
say.
He wants to be a brave captain, yet he's kind of a coward. So he has to rely on, right now he has to rely on Soge King and stuff to boost him up. It's just part
he
of
has to, like, he has to separate the brave captain part into another person.
I mean,
whole point of Usopp is he's weak.
Yeah,
he has a distinct arc as the series goes on, and I like it.
He slowly gets stronger.
Yeah.
Usopp is secretly the main character.
That would be freaking fantastic.
Usopp continues to get ever so slightly stronger, but at the same time, he just always continues to con his way out of situations.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those characters who's very competent, but he's such a coward and he doesn't believe in himself to such a degree that he can never really take full advantage of it. Because, like, there's moments later on in the series where, I mean, the shit he does, it just, like, leaves everyone stunned on the floor. Yeah. And it's like,
how are you going to make that shot? That was amazing. I just, I died at that moment reading that. It's like, yes.
Honestly, I watched that episode of the anime. I was a little disappointed they didn't use the Sniper King song there.
I mean,
just
that's
a little bit.
Yeah, that's like the obvious place because this is the last appearance of Sniper King.
Which makes, I want him to come back though at one point. He needs to come back.
Maybe, I don't know if it fits his character arc at that point, but we'll see.
When would Sniper King come back? It wouldn't be the like a final fight because then it's like, really? You don't need Sniper King.
Maybe it's when he meets his dad. You know, like he's too embarrassed. He's like,
That'd be interesting. If they finally get him and Yasop together, but he hides his identity as Sniper King. But then I think Yasop would know.
Everyone knows except Luffy and Chopper.
Right, but maybe for Usopp, it'd be like a coping mechanism or something. It'd be interesting.
Like, my view has always been that Usopp's final, like, fight thing is that he's going to actually lift a 10-ton hammer.
That would be amazing.
Meanwhile, outside, Orz is trying to find a freaking cannon.
because Orz is secretly the funniest part of this entire arc.
All right, let's be careful now. We're close to that.
We're not going to talk about anything further. I just want...
No, it's just, you know, Orz, this giant dude with Luffy's personality, he just does it for me. You know, I'm like, okay, this is funny.
It's literally this part from the latest episode of Thunderbolt Fantasy where, like, the main guy and the other guy is, like, he just looks like the other guy, but he's still acting exactly like him. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay.
Sorry, I've been meaning to watch that, but I haven't...
Watch Thunderbolt Fantasy. It should be on Toonami, but at Wulin Warriors happened, so fuck.
Oh, I forgot about Wulin Warriors.
I think everyone forgot about Wulin Warriors. It's best that
way. I think it
lasted
like 5 episodes, if that.
It lasted 1.
I don't even know what they were thinking with that one.
They weren't.
I remember when they used to have Rave Master on Toonami. It was just before it ended. And it ended just as the point it starts to get good. And then, of course, the anime ends at the point it transforms into One Piece, only with swords that explode.
See, that sounds somewhat interesting as opposed to DBZ with swords.
Well, I'm done.
I was about to say, it seems like we're wrapping up on One Piece.
Like, nobody has anything else to say, so that's about it.
So, let's just start ranking the episodes.
No, we don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Are you sure we don't do that?
Gundam was the worst.
Yes.
Don't you mean the best?
That's all that matters.
Yeah, I would have a hard time ranking these episodes because there weren't really... I mean, yeah, I know IBO was bad, but like it was bad in an entertaining way, so I can't rank it the worst. Shippuden was like a mixed bag, and DBZ was kind of a mixed bag, so there weren't like really any super stinkers this week for me.
Yeah, I think most of them fell into okay. Iron Blood is just that one that's just one extreme or the other. So I wouldn't know how to rank that initially, and it would change depending on when you talk to me about it.
So what was your guys' favorite episode, if you had to pick one?
One Punch.
One Piece, probably. Yeah. One Punch I liked a lot, but the next episode I think brings it home. Mm-hmm. I'll just say One Punch Man is going to be my next favorite episode next week.
What about you, B-Dubs? What was your favorite?
I think Hunter Hunter.
Okay, interesting. I think I would go with One Piece for sure.
I mean, I definitely liked One Piece, and, you know, Usopp is absolutely fantastic there, but I like Gon getting the shit beat out of him and then completely turning it around.
Yeah.
I can't wait till freaking either Iron Blood Orphans or One Punch Man leaves the rotation so we can just get JoJo, because JoJo is going to be so fun to talk about.
I mean, JoJo is only like 5 weeks away.
I never thought we'd reach this moment. I'm like posing so hard right now.
I can't wait to learn what you guys love about this.
Uncontrollably.
I know nothing.
Oh, man. I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, it's coming.
I can't imagine going blunt into JoJo just completely blind.
Well, imagine it, because that's what's happening.
Temper your expectations for the first episode. I'm actually planning on writing a whole thing about JoJo and Iraqi in general, just to get people introduced into JoJo and why I'm a fan of it. So
that's cool. Right.
Anyway, we've run our course, I think, tonight. So let's sign off. Thanks, B-Dubs.
Bye.
And Raxus.
Go see when the bell breaks.
Don't give them money. Fuck you, Raxus.
They ignore a literal red flag in that film.
Is it a literal red flag?
She's wearing a red dress and she's going crazy. So yes, they do. Oh god, that.
That's amazing.
And C. Kohler.
On the wind carries my name on Sniper Island, far away.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 24. Goodbye. Later.